B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, May 15th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily on this week's social media question, we ask you what game you love but have never actually beaten. We'll read some of your answers as well as share our own ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today breaking down the action in some of the major esports leagues. Not only have the group stages in League of Legends Midseason Invitational come to a close, but we also have action last week in Street Fighter League, the National PUBG League, but we have to start with the conclusion of Stage 2 in Overwatch League. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
Ponchow.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. So yeah. Let's start, Overwatch. What
yeah.
do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is Overwatch, so shush, Joe. This
okay.
is me and Norris's time
Fair
now.
Fair enough.
What a great end to the stage,
It really
man.
Was. It really was. And I think it was started off on the right foot mm-hmm. with the Dragons playing the Shock so well. The Shock had not dropped a stage, and the Dragons were the first one to take a stage off of them in the first round of the
Stop
playoffs.
That consecutive map win record at 38, which is still massive.
Astronomical.
That's going to be in place, I think, for a few seasons
Yeah,
now.
That's going to sit in the record books for a moment.
It really feels like the Dragons have become the spoiler team.
Yeah, they definitely have. They've been greatly improved. They're going to be a team to watch out for, especially as the run in the second half of the season begins.
And they've also become that team that everyone really wants to see win. Like no one is like, ugh, the Dragons. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Right.
It's part of being the lovable losers in Season 1, where in Season 2, you're like, yes, redemption arc,
but
go.
I mean, you kind of contrast that with the teams that are kind of sitting towards the bottom of the league right now, the Washington Justice, and it feels different. Like, it's not like the Justice haven't won any games. They've won games. They're just not very good.
They're just the worst team in the
right.
league.
Right. And Norris once
pointed out that they're basically the leftovers from all the other teams.
That's Aww, fair. But yeah. here's the thing, though, is that they don't earn the underdog status that the Dragons earned throughout the first season, and now that we're into the second season, they're still some of that goodwill carrying over,
totally.
And I think it's playing out very well for them.
It is. But moving along in the playoffs, the Hangzhou Spark upset the London Spitfire. Also in the first round, London still doesn't look as good as they
what
did
is
last
going
season.
On with London? Because I mean, they are season one grand champions. They have looked sluggish. They look like they have been struggling both in stage one and stage two. What is going on with London?
I mean, they are still sitting at the top. I think right now, overall, they are ranked fourth, but they're just being outshined by some of the performances we're seeing from the other teams, like the Shock, like the Titans.
But you don't expect that. You don't expect that from the previous year's champion to kind of come and be in solidly the middle of the pack, right? It's not like they're not getting into the playoffs. They've got into the playoffs, but they're just not doing as well as you think that they should.
Yeah, stage one was not very kind to them. The Ghost meta has not been very kind. The meta's a little bit looser in this stage, so that's played into their favor. And wrapping up the playoffs in the OWL this week, the San Francisco Shock are your stage two champions.
A rematch from stage one that, oh man, it was so good. It was so good.
It really was. They defeated the Titans 4-2, and it really was a battle of two, for lack of a better term, Titans of this season. It was great.
What I really found interesting about it too, because in the rematch that we're getting back in stage one, they went the full mile. They went every single map they possibly could. And what you saw during that time was that the Titans adapted to the Shock's aggressive style, but this time it seemed like the Titans they didn't adapt quite quick enough, mm-hmm. and the Shock really took advantage of that and ended up taking taking it 4-2.
Yeah, wow. Subaru did very well.
Congratulations to the Shock in their big win, taking down the Titans. Shifting focus now over to the NPL. The second week, the big story here is Rumblers. They came with a first, second, and third place finish and are now topping the leaderboard with 119 total points. Tempo Storm is following them up. Like, they are just the margin that separates first and second place is so narrow.
Yeah. Tempo Storm is you talk about the picture of consistency. 56 points in the in 1 week, 59 points in the other week.
The only place where Tempo Storm has not performed consistently was when they got onto the international stage.
That's true.
When it comes to the NPL, Tempo Storm is consistently at the top of the pack. We've also got Player One Esports, who had two first place finishes in week two. They're currently sitting pretty in third place. E-United and Cloud9 round out the top five. And currently, right now, only 11 total points separate first and fifth place. That is a remarkably thin margin, considering how, you know, how dominant Tempo Storm was in the first stage.
Right.
And how, you know, how much of a margin they were able to get out ahead in. It's the parity is so interesting. And of course, Rumblers being able to make themselves a part of that conversation. We knew Team Mustache Dave was going to do big things when they came over to NPL, but I did not see this coming. I did not see them in week two at the head of that leaderboard.
Well, something to keep in mind too, with as close as these first five places are, if you look back to stage one, in some cases first and second place were so far ahead of the rest of the pack.
Yeah.
And even then, within 1 week, those stands can change up quite drastically.
All right. It felt like in stage one, like by week three, it was almost decided.
All right, you're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. We're going to shift our focus now over to the Street Fighter League, and I understand that Punk had a runaway weekend.
Yeah, that's the big story this week in Street Fighter League, is that Team Inferno remains undefeated in Street Fighter League, and Punk actually just carries this team by himself for a second straight week in a reverse sweep.
I hear that he's doing a lot of really good trash talk right now.
Yes, it has been brilliant. So they're really, you know, sort of trying to keep it clean and PG-13 at max. But Punk sat down in the chair and instantly just started playing mind games with the opposite team. He called Just a Kid from the opposing team. He called him, instead of Just a Kid, he called him Just My Son. And at there was a point where Punk started literally calling out shots, where he would say, I'm about to get a low forward super, I'm about to get this reset.
Baseball classic of calling your home run.
Yes,
and that's amazing.
Doing it effortlessly. And at this point, if he wins, you know, Combo Breaker, or he gets an Evo win, how can we not say he's the best Street Fighter player in the world?
I think it's Evo. It's definitely got to be Evo, because it seems like he gets very close to that, you know, to that very final stage, and then, you know, ends up somehow not being able to get over that very final hurdle. All right, we got to shift focus now over to League of Legends and MSI, because a lot is happening at MSI.
Yeah, so the group stages have officially wrapped up. We're now moving towards the knockout stages. And I got to tell you, after 30 games of watching MSI, the like, for a viewing perspective, MSI has been awesome this year. There's been upsets, there's been just like crazy amounts of action, there's been a couple of clown fiestas in there that are always fun to watch. As a journalist or an analyst, after 30 games, I'm not sure I know anything more than I knew 30 games ago.
And the thing is that if you took the first five matches for every, or the first five matches, and then look at the last five matches, nothing would have shifted for you. You would have said, hey, you know, Team Liquid, they look really good. They might actually do something. And in the middle of those matches, they just completely disappear.
Invictus Gaming goes 9-1. Okay, the defending world champions are really good. Okay, that's not exactly groundbreaking, you know, analysis.
Stop the presses.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Right. In other news, water wet.
But then you would say, inversely, you would say, oh, Fongwu Buffalo, they're not going to do that great. They come out and beat G2 Esports twice.
Yeah, Fongwu Buffalo, Flash Wolves, neither of them are going to clear group stages. They're both going home now. But yeah, G2 Esports, which, I mean, yeah, Caps is really good. Perks is really good. And they got a lot of positive coverage. But at the same time, they drop two games to Fongvu Buffalo. They get smashed by Invictus twice. And they get stomped by Team Liquid on the last day when they had a chance to put second place away.
But yeah. Joe, that doesn't answer the important question.
Sure,
how's NA doing?
NA is in it. But
all
again,
right. Here's, hey, that's that. You know what? That's better. That yes. is better than the response I would have gotten in previous years.
Exactly. But just like all the other teams, if I would say, okay, here's my stance on Team Liquid. They're pretty good, but also really disappointing. Well, yeah, stop the presses. That's about what I would call NA. They went 4-6 in this. That's not particularly good, but then at the same time, when they needed it, they showed up and played an incredible game against G2 Esports.
They did, and I really think it's going to be them playing a game that's not their usual. They usually scale. They usually play for objectives in the early game and right. in the mid game. I think they're going to have to take fights to these teams.
But, and that's the thing, is what we're seeing that they're doing is the thing that NA always seems to be guilty of, is they try to play the meta of whatever region that they're going against mm-hmm. instead of playing their own game. And when they went up against G2 in the last game and said, you know what, we're going to play our game. Oh, all of a sudden you look really good.
One of my favorite things that I've seen has been kind of a description of each region's different style of play.
Yes. Yes.
Where you've got like jujitsu and like it's kind of being compared to MMA.
Yeah.
And then you get down to North America and it's WWE.
That's actually very fitting because if they don't like Stone Cold Stunner, the Shy and Rookie on the way onto the stage, they are not going to beat Invictus.
It's game over.
That's the thing. They've got Invictus in the first round of knockout stages. I mean, Invictus is going to have to
upset ever.
Yeah, in the history of League of Legends, I do believe that they would have to, Invictus would have to like have the flu, play a bad game, and the Team Liquid's going to have to play perfectly. There is a strategy to beat Invictus.
Final.
I don't know if Team Liquid can do it.
All right.
Funnel either.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. What were you watching? What are you planning to be watching? Were you watching Overwatch League? Were you watching NPL? Street Fighter League? Were you watching MSI? Are you planning on watching the MSI Finals? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, we'll welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to share your responses to this week's social media question. This week, we ask what game you absolutely love but have never beaten. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask what game you are a hardcore fan of, but have somehow never beaten the game. And I gotta say, I struggled with this question because I legitimately cannot think of a game that I love that I haven't put the time into beating, right? There are games that I'm lukewarm on that I don't finish,
sure.
And it's like that's kind of where my relationship with that game or that game series ends.
I'll say this. I was struggling too until I started seeing people's answers come in, because quickly I was like, oh yeah, that is one I loved that I did not finish.
Well, and for me, I'm the same way. I usually finish a lot of games. I usually don't move on to the next game until I finish one.
Yeah.
But there was a couple that stuck out like sore thumbs when I sat down and really thought about
there
it.
There was like a period of time in my life going between high school and college where like Final Fantasies, like several Final Fantasies, maybe, you know, like Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross would have been on that list. But like I made time in college, well, I had free time in college
yeah.
to be able to finish those games. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like anything that I'm a hardcore fan of, I feel like I got to get to the end of it first
yeah.
before I can really claim my hardcore fandom of it.
Yeah. See, I definitely guarantee I am the worst offender here because even just within the last year, God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption, Persona 5. And my problem is I put so much time into these. Like each of those games, 100 plus hours, I guarantee you, because I love to do like the side stuff and take my time doing it. But then I'll get to a point where I'm like, all right, I need to take a break. I'll pick something else up, then put so much into that that by the time I turn around, I'm like, I'm going to have to start
all back.
I'm going to have to start over again, but then I run into the same thing.
Right, like, I think that that's an important distinction, right? Like, getting, like, 10 hours in or, like, you know, maybe a few hours in, like, and then putting it down and not coming back, that's a totally different thing than plugging several hundred or 150 hours into a game and then feeling like, oh, I don't know that I could pick it back up.
I think
again.
I have 600 hours into four separate playthroughs of Fallout 4, and I've... And every time I get further in level, but it's the same place in the story every time.
Yeah.
For me, like I say, I struggled until I started like getting some responses coming that jogged the memory. And the third game of the Ace Attorney trilogy, I love those games. I so enjoyed the first and second one.
Hold it. Well, why didn't you finish it then?
And then I got into the third one, and I put it down one day, and I never came back. And I figured it out now why I haven't gone back. Partially despite Sarah, who is very upset about it.
Oh, see, so you get why I'm not playing Undertale then.
I kind of get it.
Okay.
Here's the major issue. It's on my 3DS.
Oh.
If it was on my Switch.
3DS again.
Exactly. My 3DS is in my room. It's unplugged. It has no power, and there's no chance I'll ever plug it in again.
You know what? That's as close as I get because I loved Assassin's Creed 2, but I had to stop playing it because my Xbox died, and I had no desire to want to buy another Xbox 360.
When it comes
out. Fair enough. I mean, I technically own it, but I don't know that I want to spend the $35 to buy another Xbox 360.
No, I feel you. For me, though, it has definitely been Okami. I really want to finish
it.
Okay. And LA Noire for some reason. I'm a huge fan of that game, and every time I play it, I find myself having a lot of fun, but I never finish it.
You know, Eco was a game that I never got to finish on the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
But I can't find it anymore. Like, I lost my copy of it,
no.
And I can't find it anymore.
It's a hard game to find,
but, like, that's one that I don't know. But I don't know that I would say that I'm a hardcore fan of it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently going over our social media question this week. We ask you what game you're a hardcore fan of but have never beaten. We'll get to your responses here in just a second, but first we got to send it over to Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic. We got to know, what game are you guilty of putting down and saying you're a hardcore fan of but never picking back up again?
I felt so personally attacked by this question. But the one that's probably the most embarrassing, I'm not sure if I would say the hardcore fan of this game, but I really like the story. I follow along the story with everybody else. I love BioWare, but I have never finished Dragon Age 1.
Dang.
And it
really?
Is, yeah. I can explain. When I was a poor high school student who was really bad at games, nobody warned me that trying to play Rogue in that game is like the hardest difficulty.
Is it?
It is.
I had no idea.
Oh,
either.
It's horrible.
Oh, I had no idea.
Horrible.
That's what
and
I
nobody
played
knew,
through it on.
Well, nobody knew because everyone else I knew always played Mage, which is like easy mode.
Easy mode.
So by the time, because I tried it once, I could not get past a certain part. And so my brother and his friend at the time were like, you spec'd your character wrong, which is like my biggest anxiety ever. So I restarted it. Tried to spec it correctly, still couldn't get past parts because it was just really hard, and then was told, you should just do Mage. And at that point, I'm in college, and Dragon Age 3 is out. I'm like, I don't want to keep playing this on my Xbox 360 that's dying.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's take a look at what you guys were saying on social media.
Over on Facebook, we have Michael that says, a game I absolutely love is Shining Force, but I've never actually played it to completion.
I can see that.
I mean, Shining Force being one of my all-time favorite games, I can see how it's one you would put down and just never come back to.
How long is that game, like, on average? You've played it a couple of times.
Yeah, you can probably get through it pretty reliably in, you know, 20 to 30 hours.
That's not bad.
No, it's not
a long
game.
That's not bad at all.
We have Bill who says, Horizon Zero Dawn. I love it to death. The world, the missions, the combat, as is more centered on hunting than cover shooting. Everything. I just honestly don't have time to sit by my TV for hours on end to make headway.
That's fair. And that's another one, too, that you can easily get lost just exploring the world and, like, play yourself out.
Yeah, the size of some worlds definitely are daunting. I feel like anyone who plays The Witcher 3 definitely knows what I'm talking about here. But, I mean, like, you know, for me, like, yeah, I don't do every little side quest, but I try to make it a point to at least finish the main quest of the game. Although, the one that I think I'm still guilty of is Oblivion, because I'm a huge fan of the Elder Scrolls. But does it actually count? Because I was able to revive my Xbox 360 save and now continue playing it on my PC.
Yeah.
So I don't think that counts. I'm just still playing it.
I think so.
I just took a break.
Yeah.
It's a 12-year break, but that's still a break.
I've taken longer breaks.
Over on Twitter, we have Paul Bunyan who says, I've yet to finish Hollow Knight, even though I love it. I also bought it twice, once on the PC and then on the Switch.
Well, to be fair, it's got amazing music. Yeah.
We also have Used to Be Morgan Freeman that says, Monster Hunter World, so good, so hard.
I'm not sure how you beat Monster Hunter World.
Maybe it just means beat all the dragons currently.
Yeah, have cleared all the major bosses.
That's still a lot, though.
Yeah.
Over on Instagram, we have King Brahmet that says Mass Effect 2, which just hurts my heart.
Oh yeah.
That's not a hard game to beat.
And you haven't beaten the best one?
Come on,
man. Oh my gosh, get on it, man.
Also on Instagram, Guter Wendquink says, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Go easy on me.
You know, that actually makes me think Breath of the Wild is another game I picked up, loved, and still have not finished.
Okay, that's fair.
I really like Breath of the Wild. Another huge world.
It's one that I own and one that I haven't actually plugged earnest time into, so I don't know that I could fall into that same category. One more.
Over on Facebook, we have David who says, Skyrim and Half-Life 2.
Skyrim is a huge game, so I kind of understand how you can get kind of caught in meandering into that, but...
I'm noticing a trend.
I don't know about that one.
Well, I'm noticing a trend with a lot of these games. There are a lot of open world games.
Very much so.
I see that, yeah.
Very much so. All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Dave Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.